This is PT Talker, presented by Advantage Medical. The aim of this podcast is to expose physical therapists to unique and innovative ideas to help grow their business. Each broadcast will introduce you to new concepts that will save you time, provide a better patient outcome, or lower your cost. And now, the host of PT Talker, Jeff Worrell.
Well, we're back with, actually, edition two of PT Talker. Our guest this week is our same guest from last week, Mr. Keith Koo, who is a physical therapist in private practice down in Oklahoma. Keith, welcome back.
Thank you for having me again.
Yeah, boy, we had to have you again because we were deep into it, and one of the things you commented to me off the air was my use of the term muscle stim. And I'm an old you know, guy that's been in this business a long time, and for some reason I have muscle stim in my mind. But you were claiming that really the term is inaccurate. What should I be saying instead?
You're using electrical stimulation. In essence, the misnomer has always been TENS, which is transcutaneous electrical nerve stimulation. The little box that we used to carry about everything is really transcutaneous because we don't break the skin. So we are really doing electrical stimulation in the real thing.
Okay, so during this entire podcast, it's electrical stim we're speaking about. So thank you for the clarification. Now let's just quickly, for our listeners, get your background and credentials. You are a physical therapist where?
I'm a physical therapist in Tulsa, Oklahoma, at a facility called ONCE, Oklahoma Neurological Center of Excellence.
And you've been there approximately how long?
I've been there about 3 years.
Okay, excellent. And you actually go around the country and do seminars and give training on electrical stimulation?
Yes, I do go around the country talking about modality applications, whether it be electrical stimulation or ultrasound.
Okay, and we find ourselves together out here in Seattle where you're actually giving one of those little seminar-type deals. And we talked last week about the using electrical stimulation for pain control, nerve blocks, et cetera. And we brought up, you and I off the air again, got into a conversation about the enkephalins and the opiate theory of pain. All that business. Let's go ahead and give our listeners a little clarification on that. And if you want more, listen to last week as well. But let's go ahead and start with that.
All right. So clarifying in terms of what actually occurs with pain management, there are a couple of theories that we adhere to. One being the endogenous opiate theory, to where stimulation at 100 pulses per second produces a certain endogenous opiate, in this case dynorphin, that fills the receptor for X amount of time. So you are able to predict the amount of when the pain relief occurs and how long the pain relief is going, or duration of pain relief, if you would. So for the 100 pulses per second, your pain relief onset is usually within 5 to 10 minutes. And again, literature suggests 20 minutes in duration before you get that pain relief. Duration of pain relief, however, is only like 30 minutes to 2 hours, so fairly short, but allows you to be able to do the treatment that you need in the clinic at that particular time. The 2 pulses per second provides you a pain relief that's a little bit longer, producing a different endogenous opiate that stays in the receptor a little bit longer, anywhere from 5 to 6 hours. So now you can predict or tell your patient you're going to be pain-free pretty much for another 5 to 6 hours based upon that theory.
Excellent.
The second theory, however, deals with the gate control theory. And again, the idea behind this is that pain travels on a different type of fiber as opposed to the sensation that you receive from the electrical stimulation. So in essence, the pain is beat to the brain by the electrical stimulation, literally shuts the gate, and therefore you don't perceive the pain.
So, and do we know which theory we follow? Or, I mean, do you have a preference, or do you know, or... You know.
Actually, it's both theories, and way back when we were talking about this in TENS, I remember one of my instructors actually did a research project at the cellular level to determine whether or not you could get the analgesia, whether the gate control theory worked, and so on and so forth, and it does. So if that's the case, then we can adhere to the gate control theory, which doesn't give you the idea of prediction, if you would. So the endogenous opiate theory gives you the idea of prediction, being able to ensure that you're going to get pain-freeness within a short period of time or longer-lasting pain relief over a longer period of time.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Now, also, last week we talked about using interferential, and the question that I didn't have a chance to ask you last week was, what's a vector and why do machines give you the opportunity to control that vector?
Well, the reason behind the vectoring is to allow you to get to a larger area of treatment. The ideal setup for electrical stimulation inferential current is a crisscross format. So you're doing a crisscross, however large or small the crisscross is. And then subsequently, you need two channels, or in other words, two generators on your unit to be able to give you, quote-unquote, what is an interference. Mm-hmm. All right, so if you remember your algebra, you're going back to the carry frequency being 5,000. If one channel has 5,000 and the second channel has 5,100, if you negate the 5,000, then the outcome is 100.
Yeah.
So that 100 pulses per second gives you that endogenous opiate release at the sensory analgesia level, which now, again, you can predict that you're going to get pain relief in a short period of time, but short duration of pain relief.
Okay. And then, so how about as far as controlling the speed of the vector?
The vector can, again, depending on what your outcomes are, for the most part, I leave my vector on fast because I want the area totally covered. Whether or not you go halfway or 90 degrees, again, depending. If you think of the vector as a windshield wiper, if you would, going back and forth, if you go fast, you're going to cover a larger area faster versus a smaller area if you went a little bit slower. So the outcome might certainly be slower in my estimation.
Okay. All right. Now, we spend a lot of time on pain control, but, of course, electrical stim can be used for muscle strengthening and edema reduction, et cetera. Do you have any tips for therapists who might be looking for some ideas on either of those two areas?
For muscle stim and for pain?
Let's just say muscle strengthening.
Muscle strengthening. Okay. So if you're dealing primarily with muscle strengthening, again, we're shooting for the fast twitch fibers. Depending on what you want to accomplish, we go back to equivalent of what is called Russian stimulation. The intent there is to be on for 10 seconds and off for 50, or 1 in 5 ratio. The idea behind the rest period is to allow the muscle to recuperate while you stress it out at the 10 seconds. So repetition-wise, typically you can go 10, 15 repetitions, and all, that may be all the muscle can tolerate. And fatigue, especially if you're overloading the muscle quite a bit. The idea behind the process is to how much do I overload the muscle. And the theory suggests a larger muscle needs to be overloaded anywhere from 90 to 100%. Whereas if you're dealing with a smaller muscle, for example, the ones in your hand and so on and so forth, you might only overload them 30 to 50%. So not quite as much. Now, how do I know how much do I overload it? Depends on how much you turn up the intensity on your device. So if you're getting, you know, a muscle contraction that is way, way, way beyond, you're at 100%. You might use it on the quads or the hamstrings, mm-hmm. or larger muscle equivalent. But certainly a smaller contraction, maybe for the forearm and the smaller muscles in the hand, might be much, much less intensity.
And should you allow the muscle to go through a range, or do you want to block it somehow? What's proper protocol there?
And again, depending on what you want to accomplish, if going through the range causes the patient discomfort, then obviously you want to stay away from that whole scenario if you're doing nothing but muscle stimulation. So again, the scenario would be kill off the pain, get comfortable and make sure that you're not going to destroy the tissue in any way or form. Come back and do muscle stimulation. Go through the range that they have available. But the idea, again, behind muscle stimulation is to overload the muscle. So you could do a partial component with the electrical stimulation, a partial component with a weight or a therotubing or equivalent,
okay.
to overload the muscle to the 100% or the 50% as dictated by the size of the muscle.
And what's the difference between biphasic and Russian? Is this a big deal?
Yes, it is somewhat. In Russian stimulation, in most instances, is really a medium frequency carry frequency. And the biphasic is equivalent to what is your TENS unit, if you would. In terms of what is more comfortable, obviously, is going to be the medium frequency device. So definitely
the Russian
stimulation would be much more comfortable than biphasic,
okay.
by far.
And has that been your experience? Do patients claim
yes,
that?
Yes, okay. absolutely. And again,
Even though I've heard some experts claim biphasic is more comfortable?
Proof is in the pudding, so try it out, see which one works best for you.
See what you think. Okay, all right. And, so now, do you have any tips and techniques regarding the use of electrical stim for edema control?
Absolutely. Edema control is not much different than causing muscle pumping. So if you're using a equivalent of the muscle stimulation when it comes off, on and off in terms of a equivalent of Russian stim, but certainly on and off a lot faster, perhaps a 10 to 10 or a 10 to 20 ratio to where you're actually getting a contraction and forcing the muscle to pump actually the fluid out of the area, so being able to decrease the edema. Now, a precursor to that would be to use your ultrasound, because you cannot just do the muscle pumping and get the outcome that you're looking for. You have to open the cells to take in, if you would, the extraneous fluid, the intracellular fluid, it back into the cells to be able to transport it. And the transport is occurring as a result of the pumping action, if you would, because of the muscles and where the lymph and the veins sit in. So you're actually doing a contract relax, if you would, pumping the fluid back into where it can be absorbed.
After people attend your seminars and you have a chance to talk to therapists, do you feel like they have a better understanding and maybe value electrical stim more than they did before you had a chance to talk to them? It just feels to me that electrical stim is a little underutilized, understood, misunderstood, etc.
That's true. I just got one of my students just left me yesterday that is interning with me, and the idea behind that process, again, she was saying, I don't use this very much because I don't understand it. Mm-hmm. There's so many terms and so many pieces to the puzzle, it makes it very, very difficult. So when you get done with one of the courses that I teach, by the time you leave, you're going, ha, this is no problem. Easy to use. You'll be able to go back next day, provide the treatment, get the outcome, which is the most important part.
Yeah. All right. Now, if anyone would like to contact Keith Koo or you have questions, feel free to send me an email to feedback@pttalker.com. I will then pass it on to Keith and see if he's got the opportunity to answer your question. Want to thank you, Keith, for taking actually 2 weeks to join us on PT Talker. We appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity.
And good luck to you. Keep up the great work. This is Jeff Worrell. I just want to thank everyone for listening and thank all of you, especially I got an email from a group out of England who were questioning the topic that we had with Susan Eisenhagen, and I hope you got my response, and I appreciate all the good feedback that we do get at feedback@pttalker.com. So if you'll just join us next week, we will have another PT expert all ready to go and hopefully help you to treat patients better and receive better outcomes. Don't forget to check out iTunes if you're looking for a previous episode, and want to thank again everyone for joining us today. This is Jeff Worrell saying so long for now.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical, bringing you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.